Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the chance to come together as your people, Father, to be one with you, Lord God, to be one in spirit, Father, with you, Lord, that there be no separation, Father, in any way, any respect, but Lord, that we be truly what you made us to be, Father. We thank you for the work of your Spirit this day that does that in us, Lord God. And Father, this day, Lord, right now, whatever is going on, Father, around us, whatever may be happening, Lord, we leave it all at the side. And Lord, we come before you, Father, as your people. We ask, Lord, that you would take every weight, every concern, every care, Father. And Lord, we know, Lord, that you said, cast our cares upon you, for you care for us, Lord. So Lord, we hold nothing, Father. We allow you to take it. We allow you to carry it, Father. And we just choose to walk, Lord God, with you, with your Spirit, with Jesus this day, because you are the way, the truth, and the life. And so, Lord, even as we would open up your word, even as, Lord, we would look into your scriptures this morning, Father, we pray, Lord God, that your Spirit that leads and guides us into all truth would do that this day, Lord. Lord, that you would speak to every heart and every person right where they are, Lord God, and that the ministry of your Holy Spirit would go forth. Father, I get out of the way, and Lord, I allow for the full flow of your Spirit in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay. Well, good morning. Good morning. This will be like my last time with you for a little while. About 6 weeks I'll be gone too. So I'm going to go visit Yako's country. Yako's been bragging about Holland all this time, so I thought I'd go see what all of the talk is about. But then I'm going to the States for a while. This morning I was thinking, even last night, I've been having some questions with God. You know, you can have questions with God. It's nice. Because you know, many times what happens is the Spirit of God will start stirring something in you. Because there's something that He is working with the people, trying to show you something. So you'll begin to have a question in some area or an idea in some area. He's doing that with us. So many times, as have you ever, you've had a question or something, and then all of a sudden the answer will come. You'll be talking to someone, or you'll be reading the scripture, or somebody will speak some message somewhere, but somehow like the answer will come as you're pursuing that. How many have had that happen? So now we start to see a little bit about the way the Spirit of God works with all of us. So you're allowed to do that. It's great, because this is part of your walk, your relationship, the part of, we're on a path with Jesus. It's part of that path in walking life out here. So we continue to grow in Him. Okay, this morning, I would like to spend a little time. John chapter 17. And I want to actually read the whole chapter. So, this is the Lord's Prayer. You know, sometimes people say the Lord's Prayer is in Matthew 6. That's the disciples' prayer. That is the prayer that people said, teach us how to pray. That's how He taught them to pray. This is Jesus' prayer. This is the Lord's Prayer.
So,
So they should change that. With all these Bibles that they have the captions over the top, they should change that and say, this is, you know, they should. So,
okay.
Okay. So you want to read it or just we can just do it in singular because it's a long one. And English Bibles will just have to go through straight. Okay. Amen. So we say all a big amen to Jesus' prayer. Okay. Amen. Amen. So let it be. Okay. You remember now, I want to go back some time ago. We had a message on the two kingdoms, right? Who remembers that one? Some people remember. Okay. Of God. We have the kingdom of God. And we have the kingdom of this world. Okay. Of this world. Or the kingdom of the world, the kingdom of Satan, the kingdom of the devil, the systems of man, whatever you want to call them, separate from God.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. What is salvation? I'm going to ask a big, deep theological question. What is salvation? When people say, when were you saved, brother? What is that? When you accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. Okay. And how do they define that? How is that defined? From moving from the kingdom of the world to the kingdom of God. That's what Teresa said. Okay. Is that a natural thing? Is that a spiritual thing? It's a spiritual thing. Because Jesus said, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil. So, if it's a spiritual thing that happens, you may be right here, still in the kingdom of the world, but the kingdom of God is like that. You know, you're still in, you may be in the world, but you're spiritually in the kingdom of God. So we know in the scriptures that the wheat and the tares grow together. And we know that Jesus even said, I pray for them. I, as you, Father, sent me into the world, so I'm sending them into the world. So we're sent the same way as Jesus. But what is salvation? So we start thinking about this. What were we saved from? Because see, people say accepting Jesus as their personal Lord, you know, we have so many church ideas that we have, but have we ever thought about what they mean? When you let Him reign in your heart. There's another great church one. I love it. But how does that work? How does that mean? What does that mean when somebody lets Jesus reign in their heart? Let's dig deeper here. Let's dig down to what these things are. To have Jesus' mind, there's to have the mind of Christ, okay. Now we're starting to dig in a little bit. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Scripture tells us to do that, okay. Okay. Yeah. To be separate from sin. Okay. Now how does that work? Turning our hearts to the Lord. Okay, that's repent. To see the fruits. Okay, these are all good, but we'll keep these ones in there. I'm not going to start writing everything or we'll get sidetracked. Okay, turning our hearts, the hearts are turned to the Lord, separation from sin, seeing the fruits of the Spirit, the mind of Christ is coming. So we're starting to throw some things out that, right, these are maybe possible manifestations of what it is that we're, but what does it mean when we're saved? You know, because many times how it's defined is people say, oh, okay, when did you go to the altar call, raise your hand, come up, make a public declaration of your faith, and accepted Jesus into your heart. When did you define it with a spiritual, with a natural thing? You remember?
ಮತ್ತೊಂದು ಕಿಲಹಣೆ ಆತ್ಮಿಕತೆ ಸ್ವಾಭಾವಿಕ ಜಾಗೃತಿಯತೆ ಮೇಲೆ ಬರ್ತಿರಲ್ಲ ಇಸ್ರಾಟ ಎಲ್ಲ ಕೇಳ ಗ್ಯಾಲರಿ ಮುಳ ಬಂದ ಹೌದು ಫ್ಯಾಮಿಲಿ ಗೆಲ್ಲ ಹಲ ತೋರಿಸಲ ಇದು ಬರ್ಸೆ ಇದನ್ನದಿ ಅಪಿ ಪ್ರಕಾಶಕರ ಪ್ರಸಿದ್ಧಿ ಅಭಿಯಾದಿಲ್ಲ.
So right now, if we said, okay, whoever wants Jesus in their heart, come to the front and pray, and we're going to pray for you and lay hands on you, and then, you know, and then people will say, okay, on August the 10th at 10 a.m. that's when I received Jesus into my heart, right? But you already told me that it's not a natural move, it's a spiritual move that takes place. So people go up to altars all over the world all the time and they go back exactly the same way. Because there is no change, there is no difference, there is no salvation. There is no knowing God. Okay, so what is salvation? Jesus told us, alright, what is salvation? Jesus told us in John 17 verse 3 that, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Okay. I forgot to bring it when I was coming out the door. I had something. My sister one time, as a joke for one of my birthdays, she bought me, have you ever seen this thing? It's labeled WWJD. Okay. Have you ever seen that? So for a birthday one time, my sister bought me a t-shirt and a bracelet and a chain and all this different stuff and gave it to me. And this thing was developed by a church in the States where that church said, okay, whatever situation you're in life, ask yourself the question, what would Jesus do in this situation? Now, I would say to you that is still not, that's not eternal life. That's not something from eternal life, because that's a separation asking again, what would somebody do over there? Okay. That is not, that's somebody trying to know about God. Where, okay, what would he do in this situation? What would they do in this situation? Always trying to know what somebody else would do, but never having the mind of Christ. In scripture, even, okay, here it says that they may know thee, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. In scripture, many times, especially in the Old Testament, they talk about someone knowing their wife, like Adam knew his wife.
Okay. මොකද ගියවිලි වල මේක කලින් කියලා තියෙනවා හැමතිස්සෙම හැඳින ගැනීම ගැන ආබ්‍රහම් ඔහුගේ භාර්යාව හැඳිලා ගත්තා කියලා.
And in those situations, it's literally referring to them physically coming together and sleeping with each other. So a physical union where two become one flesh is what scripture talks about. And when God says, all right, that we would be one with Him, in a union in the spirit where we are no longer separate from God. There is no separation. That He would be in you, you would be in Him, that you would become even a representation of Him because His life is pouring through you. So when, you know, Punesh brought out the one about let this, the mind of Christ. So it's no longer, oh gosh, what would God think? It's you think what God thinks. You know, last week when we said, okay, we did the separation, I put Stella over there and Punesh over here, and I said, okay, you're seated in heavenly places. So you exist in different realities right now? So in the spirit, see, remember in Isaiah that God said, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts, my ways above your ways, right? But with Jesus, now that the way has been unlocked, we're seated in heavenly places, our eyes are open, we hear the very voice of God in that dimension even now. So it's no longer as high as the heavens are above the earth. Separate from God, yes, but you're one in Christ. So now you have the mind of Christ when you are one in Him. The thoughts that you have become the thoughts that God has. You remember the scriptures where it said that they will no longer say, no, you should know God or you should do this, for they will all know me. That you should know, that people in the Old Testament time said, you know, you need to know God for yourself and you need to do this. And He said, no, everyone will know me in this time. The time will come when they will know me. That you will need that no man, John 16, you need that no man teach you when the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of truth comes upon you. He will lead and guide you into all truth. So, in salvation, when we start talking about, okay, what is this salvation? It is not when somebody comes and raises a hand and says a prayer. Because hearts are deceitfully wicked, you can do all kinds of external manifestations and there is no connection with the Father. So no one comes to the Father unless the Spirit draws them, right? So when the Spirit draws, when the Spirit chooses, appointed to every person because it's His thing, when He opens their eyes to see, that is a point of spiritual awakening in a person. That's the point of spiritual awakening in a person. Because at one point we are separate and outside of God, in as far as like our connection, our ability to, we need Him to wake us up. Alright, remember also Jesus in Luke 4 said, "I came to recover sight for the blind," right? So we're blinded in the world. We're also born, if when you're blind, you're also, your eyes are closed. Also, when your eyes are closed, you're also doing what? Yeah, you're also, your eyes are closed, you're sleeping. So when Jesus opens your eyes, when the Spirit of God opens someone's eyes, they wake up. They start to see, here's what's going on, here's what the reality is that you live in. This is where you are. The world that you see with your natural eyes is the illusion. And the reality of the world of the Spirit is what's real. And then you also start to realize that in the world, what's happening to people, what the world is all about, what it's designed to do. The world and the systems of the world are designed to harvest the souls of men and women. And it does it in many different ways. But it's always the same thing in the end. Yeah, I was talking Wednesday with some friends. Have you ever seen how they process the cattle? But how they put them through that, so they'll have all the cows, they'll all be doing their different things, but then when they bring the time for them to actually be processed, to be slaughtered. So you've seen that, no? So that's the same thing that happens in the world. And so sometimes these cows are out running around and all this, but ultimately they gather them together and they put them through. And that is what the world does. People give their hearts, their affections, their will to the world. And in doing that, in their heart being with the world, their treasure, their being separate from the Father, that's where it's going. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end leads to death. So there's a way that seems right, because all the other cows are going that way, right? So they're all going this way, and everything's channeled this way, and people are pushing that way, and they're all moving in this direction. But what's waiting for them when they get to the end of that line? Yeah. So if you're one of those cows, and you think you're right because all the other cows are going this way, yeah, so everybody's there. They're like, okay, all my friends are going this way, we're all going, we're happy, at least I have company, I can't possibly be wrong because we're all moving this direction. And then all of a sudden, what happens is you find out where everything was going. But the point where most people realize it's too late. So when Jesus came, when He came into this world, and He said, hey, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the way. What's the way? We talked about that some last week, about different aspects of what the way is. But one big part of it is the way off of the slaughter line. The way off of the line where everybody else is going to be slaughtered. So, and with that, because most people will go the way of the world, Jesus said that the road to life the gate is narrow, that and there's few that go on that path, but the road to destruction, many go that way, right? So not that many people will choose life. Because it goes against the world. But when God wakes up your heart, you know that's the right way. So in beginning to walk that out though, what happens, what must take place? Is that there's no longer a separation between you and the Father. Salvation is being one with God. You are found in Him, He is found within you. You are one, fused with God. The word Christian means Christ-like, little Christ. Jesus. So it means that you are literally like Him. Now, that word has been taken by others because, and it's been used to make a religion, it's been used to make justify wars, it's been used to kill lots of people, it's been used to build huge buildings, it's been used for all kinds of things, but the meaning of the word, what the intent of the word is you have to realize that is what it is, and not all these other systems. So Jesus' prayer for us Because he said that I pray only for these in verse 20 of chapter 17. He said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them which shall believe on me through their word. So we believe on Jesus through the word that has been passed to us, both by the Spirit and also by the messengers that God has used for that purpose. Verse 20. Yeah. So he said that neither pray I for these alone, but for also for those who shall believe on me through their word. So God was praying for us. And his prayer is answered for those that walk with Jesus. So we become one with the Father. So this, what would Jesus do, doesn't mean anything to us. Because I don't need to ask what Jesus would do, I do what Jesus would do. The mind of Christ is in me. I do in every situation what the Father would do. Jesus said, I don't do anything except what I see my Father doing, right? And then he also said, you know, as the Father sent me into the world, I'm sending you into the world. So we are sent the same way Jesus is sent into the world, the same way. We don't do anything except what we see Jesus and the Father and the Holy Spirit leading us to do. There is no separation. So I don't need to ask this question, I already know the answer. Salvation is being one with the Father. Salvation is your eyes being open, that the recovery of sight for the blind, you are no longer blind, you are no longer asleep. Salvation is when we are no longer on the way of the world, but we are now on the way with Jesus. We're on the way, the path. So now, can you do this for someone else? No. You can't do this for anyone else. You can't make this decision, this choice for anyone else, no matter how much you love and care about them. Each person decides in their life and in their heart if they want truth and if they're willing to follow out truth. The deception in the world is that they will get you to look to a man to tell you this is okay. You're okay with God, or you're okay with the afterlife, or whatever it is, if you do this, this, and this. But in the Spirit, are you one with the Father? And if not, if you know there's a separation, ask Him. Because when you are found in Him, when you are found in Christ, the things of the world grow strangely dim. The world will just melt away. So even when we talk about sin and all of these things, it's no longer you trying to say, okay, I won't today, I'm not going to go see this or do this. No, it doesn't matter anymore. You just walk out life with Him and He's leading you. So there is no issue. Because the religions and the systems of man over here outside of God will say, okay, if you do this and if you don't do this, you're okay. So a religion, what it will do is say, here is your list. So you need to come every Wednesday for this, you need to come every Sunday for this, you must be at this place on Tuesday, and don't do this, don't talk to such and such, don't go here, do come here. Right? So eat this, don't eat this. You see, what does that have anything to do with God? What does that have anything to do with the walk in the Spirit? The walk in the Spirit for each person is an individual walk where the Spirit of God would lead and guide you into all truth. I had somebody ask me recently about water baptism. And my question to them, yes, of course, Scripture talks about baptism, right? But my question to them is, what's the Spirit of God leading you to do? Because if it's not something being led by the Spirit of God, if you do something because a system says, okay, now you've said this and this, now you need to get wet. Right? Then it's still based on somebody else. It's still based on someone else's telling you, here's what you need to do so that you're okay. And then if after it's not that one, it's the next thing. Don't go to the movie. And most of those pastors I know, they go buy the DVD. But they just don't go to the movie, right?
Yeah, okay.
My question to that person was, what's the Spirit of God leading you to do? You remember Philip and the eunuch? And Philip was expounding the scriptures to him, and the eunuch said, look, here's some water right here. What should keep me from being baptized right now? The Spirit of God that was coming alive in him was leading him to do that. And Philip said, hey, if you believe, go for it. Let's do it. Came up out of the water, God picked up Philip, moved him over somewhere else, dropped him off, the eunuch came up praising God. Philip was gone, didn't matter. So what you must be mindful of is the systems of the world, the systems of man, that again do what? Put you on the processing line to take you where?
Yeah,
No. You are a child of God, given life by the Spirit of God Himself. No man has the right to lord anything over you. You have direct connection to the Father. You are one in Christ Jesus, and He is alive in you. So from that place, trust the way the Spirit of God speaks to you when your heart is clean before Him. Trust the way that He speaks and leads you. John chapter 3, I want to show you this again. Verse 5 said, Jesus answered, Verily I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh, that which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not as I say these things again, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannest not thence whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Just verse 5 through 8. So we're all born of water when we're born into this world. The mother's water breaks and then we come into the world. But when you're born of the Spirit, all of a sudden, what comes alive? The Spirit of God comes alive in you. And when you become one with Him, all of a sudden, He puts you on an adventure in the world. So Jesus, when He says here, the wind bloweth where it listed, the wind blows where it goes, where it wants to go, and you know, you hear it, you can see the sounds, but you can't tell where it's coming and where it's going to go. And He said, the people of the Spirit are the same way. So the world, and even within, the world has no idea what we're capable of or what we might do. And you know what? We, just walking in the Spirit of God, for us, that's fine. Because the Spirit of God leads and directs each person. And God didn't send everybody into the desert for everybody to go talk to the eunuch. He just sent Philip. God didn't send all of the early church leaders in Antioch. He just picked Paul and Barnabas. He left the other three there. So God doesn't pick and use all of us for everything. He uses somebody for this and somebody for this, and someone He sends over here and someone He leaves there. But But as we each walk out what the Father has for us, that comes together beautifully by God's design into His plan and purpose. And so you don't have to worry about, okay, all the pygmies in Africa and what will happen to them. Or all the this trouble over here or that thing over there. No, you don't have to worry about it. If something touches your heart, pray about it to the Father, no problem. And then say, Father, here I am. Anything you want to do, go ahead. I'm open. And He says, okay, for you, this is where I want you to go. I want you to go have lunch at Tasty's. Because when you go there, the Spirit of God works through you in that environment, touches the lives of some people, maybe some word you say to one person, the guy behind the counter, that is what God wants to do for that day. That is the heart that He wants to touch for that day. Okay. So, when God saves us, we are one in Christ Jesus. There is no more separation. And we walk that process out because He's continually doing things with us as we are. He's a progressive God. He's also, we're going somewhere with Him. Our eyes are open. We're no longer blind, we're no longer asleep. And we're off of the slaughterhouse line, we're on the way with Jesus. So we're free from the bondage of this world. So thank God for what He's done for us. And I'm just going to pray today. Father God, we just want to thank You, Lord. Father, we thank You, Lord God, for Jesus. We thank You, Lord, that we are one in You. We thank You, Lord, that there is no separation, Lord. The veil is torn, Father. The way is made to the Father. There is no separation. No man, nothing stands between us, Lord. No power, Father God, can separate us from the love of God. Lord, we are one in You. And so, Lord, we thank You for that. And Father, this day, Lord God, I just pray, we pray, Father, that You would bless the people here. Father, we pray that You would bless, Lord God, every heart, every mind, Lord, that they would all, Lord, walk with You, that they would truly know You, Lord. And Lord, that You would manifest Yourself in them, Lord. Lord, that there would be encouragement this day, Father, knowing that in every step, Father, that You are with and in them, Lord, and You actually live life through them, Father, because You reside in us, Lord God. Lord, You do not live in temples made by hands, Father, but You live in our hearts. So, Father, thank You, Lord God, for that. And Lord, even as the work in this organization continues on, Father, we pray that You would just bless it, Lord. Let it be everything You want it to be, nothing that You don't want it to be. Father, that You would expose, remove, and root out, Lord, the things that are not like You. And Lord, allow for the free flow, Father, of all that You desire in this place. Thank You, Lord God. And Lord, we just continue on and go forward in Jesus' name.